Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. This is our Q&A series where I answer your questions regarding the infinite banking concept, becoming your own banker. Let's get started. Okay, this episode was a short. What is the problem? Question mark. And this was, I think, last week. The comment is, I've let this play on loop for 20 repetitions, dot, dot, dot. I'm refinancing properties right now, dot, dot, dot. And yes, the lack of control and ownership of the banking function is a problem. Derek, the physio, maybe you're a physiologist, maybe you're in the medical field, what have you. Thanks for the comment. And I just got to say, listen, bankingwithlife.com. All right. Go to the Learning Center. Stay on this YouTube channel. There are hundreds of videos here, and there are videos and material. I hate to use even the word content, but there are educational materials on our website and on this channel. Excuse me. And I think there's a lot here. So I appreciate that your attention span is longer than that of a gnat's, because I know the short, I think they're supposed to be a minute or shorter. I don't know. And you listen to it for 20 repetitions. I appreciate that. Makes me want to go listen to that short. Listen, if you have time, if you have 10, 15 minutes at a time, I'm encouraging you to go to our learning center, bankingwithlife.com. Stay on this channel. Look at some of the playlists, right? And listen to them at 10 or 15, 20 minutes at a time. I know some are long. I know I talk slow. I get all that, but it's still worth the listen. I think there's an incredible amount of valuable learning, education, resources, whatever you want to call it. All the things that I think it should be said. Okay. Thanks for the comment on that. And then this is a question on episode 161, Mass Panic and the Infinite Banking Footprint. Man, I don't know who comes up with these titles, but sometimes they're pretty dang good. This was released early last year in 2023. The comment was a couple weeks ago. So having an annually one-year term on your policy is something that shouldn't be part of a policy. So having an annually renewable term, one-year term rider on your policy is something. There are much better ways to construct a policy. So I would suspect that you might be an agent as well, which is fine. I mean, God knows we need more of them. And I hope you're a good one if you are one. And what do you mean by that, Jay? I don't know, doing the right thing for your clients, right? Understanding and knowing the life insurance and the products that you present. Understanding and knowing and being able to convey the power of the infinite banking concept. That's what I mean when I broadly say the word good and just doing the right thing. Okay. So there's a better way. You know, if you have annually renewable term, you think about that annually renewable term, the price is going to go up every year. At some year in the future, that price is going to be prohibitive and you're going to drop it. Right. And this whole idea of the blended term rider is very, very old. You know, you can't afford the high premium of permanent life insurance. So you just start with a little premium and that death benefit's going to grow over time, but it doesn't have enough death benefit now. So you go buy some term today, the death benefit will reduce over the time. And then some magical point in time out in the future, you're going to have all the cash value that you need and the appropriate death benefit. I mean, this concept is very old, right? Well, so I'm just saying it's nothing new, you know, it's packaged in different ways, but specifically to your question, sir. So having an annually renewable 1 year term policy is something that shouldn't be a part of the policy. Not saying that. I'm saying there may be a better way, but when you have annually renewable term and the premium goes up over time, you're going to drop it, right? And it's also going to limit the duration in which you can pay a PUA premium. And then I know I hear it all the time. It's like, well, you only want to pay the PUA premium for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, or 7 years. Drop that, reduce it as fast as possible, and then just pay a base premium only. Talked about that many times on this channel. It's like all you're doing is staying in the capitalization phase of a policy. You're continually paying and going through the startup cost of a policy. right? And that's, you know, you want to do that? Well, if you want to, you shouldn't be forced to do that, right? And then, I want to avoid the startup cost anyway. That's why the god-awful 90-10 policies come into effect. You know, some guy's got a license. Some insurance company gave him a contract, and it's like, can't sell life insurance, can't convey the power of the infinite banking concept. I'm probably talking to cheap real estate investors too. And it's like, oh my gosh, put 90% in. How much is going to cash and how much is buying death benefit? Man, if you're hearing any of this thing that you think I'm remotely referencing, knock it off of you. Go learn the other side of it. Right? Learn why that stuff is maybe not the best that you can do. Okay. This question, it's kind of a question and a statement, was made on episode 249, Capital is the Core. And Don't Fight the Pride says, I don't get why velocity banking should be dismissed in the conversation, period. I've certainly moved on from it to infinite banking, but for someone who doesn't yet have policy capital, they are using the capital they have in the meantime as collateral for banking. Doesn't mean they shouldn't also be positioning themselves with policies to eventually shift to IBC, in parentheses, when all the debt is gone, but it is legit. In past episodes, you expressed that you can perform the banking function with any asset. How then isn't velocity banking viable while, in all caps, setting the table for infinite banking? Don't fight the pride. I think that you're probably, and I don't know, and it's no disrespect, it sounds to me like you're a newly, you discovered infinite banking and probably went and got a life insurance license so you can gen up another revenue. I hear you. And the struggle is real, but you can do it. Keep going. Okay. You're commenting on an episode that might have been an hour and a half long. Ryan and I tend to go long sometimes. You know, there are hundreds of videos on the Banking with Life YouTube channel. All right. Just Google up James Nether, your Banking with Life. There are tons and tons of videos. We have a learning center at our website. There are tons and tons of materials in there, including more videos. And I have spoken about velocity banking many times, and including here, and I don't listen to the episodes that re-record, so I don't wish to listen to myself. I know exactly what I say, and we can go transcribe like everybody else when I want to read it. But let me say, my opposition to velocity banking has been in the way it's marketed, and what I see and what I've seen over the last 20 years practicing the infinite banking concept, 34 years in the life insurance business, where these, you know, outstanding clickbaity marketers create a beautiful presentation and take it to Mr. and Mrs. Middle Class America and say, hey, take the most valuable asset that you have, your primary place of residence, and go get a HELOC on it or a cash out refi, collateralize it in some way, and then take that loaned money and buy a life insurance policy and practice this idea of infinite banking. And most of the time, those types of policies in that situation that I'm speaking to are completely Frankenstein policies. The structure will violate the integrity of the policy over one's lifetime. Period. Yeah, I'm not telling you to take my word for it, but go ahead, keep digging, keep listening, keep looking, keep learning. So you're telling, or not you, but most quite often, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America, the all-American individual who owns a primary residence, is encouraged to get the equity, collateralize their property, right? Cash out, refi, or HELOC, and then take that capital, buy a life insurance policy that's poorly structured so they can immediately leverage that policy, right, to go make another investment. Most of the time, it's with the individual making the whole presentation or their cronies. You know, they're all ginning up 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 revenue streams, whatever. I'm a capitalist. I'm not opposed to, you know, profits. I'm talking about the situation where I see velocity banking and HELOCs used and over-promoted, okay? And then they go invest it into something, probably real estate, you know, this to get the passive income, right? And they don't know the typical all-American, Mr. and Mrs. America. They don't want to be in the real estate business. They don't have understanding or competency necessarily in the real estate business. They don't understand life insurance. They don't understand the infinite banking concept. And they surely don't understand all the perversions of the infinite banking concept. And then you're going to put all this together and call it good. That's my opposition to HELOCs. We've also talked many times on this podcast about debt and leverage. You know, is a HELOC better than a 30-year? It could be. It could be a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Right, it could be. It's the individual's ability to control their cash flows and how much discipline they have. Right, and I want to be debt free as fast as anyone. All right, so don't misunderstand or misconstrue my position on HELOCs or velocity banking. Right. Okay, thanks for letting me say that. And then, you know, should people do velocity banking? You know, if it makes sense for them to do a HELOC to get out of debt, perfect. And this, the idea that you have to get out of debt first so you can position themselves to set the table, this is kind of weird language that you're using, is why I suspect you might be a life insurance agent, okay? And I'm telling you, no disrespect. Get out of debt and then start practicing the infinite banking concept. And the first reference you used, infinite banking, right? Which, and I appreciate that. The second reference was the infinite banking concept. And I believe there's a bit of a difference, you know. The infinite banking concept as taught by R. Nelson Nash, my late friend and mentor, the author of the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, the individual who discovered this idea that you could become your own banker, or just infinite banking, the bastardization of his work that's been molested all across the financial world. You know, I think there's a difference. So you don't have to wait to do anything right now. Should you go borrow a bunch of money? Should you collateralize all of your assets, you know, to start a life insurance policy that you can collect? No, I don't agree with that. You know, can it be done? Yes, of course it can be done. And can it work and can it be successful? Yes. Yes, of course. It could also go sideways rather quickly. Okay. So I have nothing against HELOCs. I'm opposed to the way the sales marketing, you know, presentation that are, I mean, these are really polished people that present this stuff, right? So I'm not even disparaging them. But it's typically not the whole truth. You know, there's a lot of omission that occurs in those overly complex presentations. And then, you know, this complex series of leverage, which is the problem. The problem is you don't have enough capital. That's the problem. Where you got coffee today, that business doesn't have enough capital. The vehicle that you drove to get that coffee, whoever manufactured that vehicle doesn't have enough capital. They don't have access to enough capital, and that's the problem, right? And then because you don't have access to capital, you got to go borrow the third-party lender's money and be under their control to gain access to capital. It's because you don't have access. You don't own enough capital. So how about we solve that problem, right? The lack of capital. So waiting for what? You know, capital ain't going to accumulate itself for you. You have to do it. All right. And then as you accumulate capital, capital formation under your control, then you can properly perform the banking function. All right. Okay. So let's like oversimplify. That's not even, I digress. I'm not oversimplifying anything. I'm pointing out the straightforward facts. All right. But then you continue. It's, you know, doesn't it mean that it doesn't mean they shouldn't be positioning themselves with policies to eventually shift to IBC when all the debt is gone, but it is legit. I mean, that I'm kind of struggling to read this, but you don't have to wait. In past episodes, you expressed that you can perform the banking function with any asset. Yes, that's a fact. I can take any asset and collateralize it if someone is willing to lend me money on an asset. Yep. Nothing I said in that episode disagrees with that fact that you can bank with anything. Cows, tractors, farm equipment, cryptocurrency, yep, real estate, precious metals, ammo, the delivery system. You know, you can loan money on livestock, animals, borrow or loan money on livestock and animals. Yeah, you can bank with any. Banking is nothing but the movement of money. Deposits, withdrawals, loans, loan repayments. All right. So how, he continues, how then isn't Velocity banking viable while, in all caps, while setting the table for infinite banking? I don't know what setting the table means, sir. I would assume that it means, you know, you're preparing to get into the infinite banking. It's like, look, when you, the listener, if you'll engage with somebody who is knowledgeable about the infinite banking concept, not bastardizing it, not saying, oh, well, Nelson, yeah, we can do Nelson Nash style type IBC policies. But, you know, that was it's antiquated or whatever language they use. And now we do things better. It's upgraded. It's new and improved. You should immediately mark in your mind that that verbiage is noise, and you should recognize who's promoting that kind of a noise. And you might do yourself a favor and put that on the side. All right. Set it off to the side. Sidestep it and go get to the truth. Right, of what Nelson Nash taught. All right, nobody's improved this. There's been lots of changes in the life insurance industry. I've talked about them in presentation after presentation after presentation. Nothing has been done in the life insurance industry. Nothing has been done with any of these marketing gurus who discovered that they could get a life insurance license. Didn't even have to study as hard for that as they did the driving license that they have. So they got a life insurance license. And all these life insurance companies, they can't wait for you to send them premium. So they'll give these individuals contract in a heartbeat to promote their products, right? And I'm just telling you the state of affairs. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. All right, and then they discover IBC, the infinite banking concept, and they can string those three letters together, and they have a life insurance license, and they have a contract with a life insurance company, and then by golly, they're the infinite banking expert in the room. Okay, if that's who you want to learn with and engage and let them practice on you, they are out there in droves. Just look at all the people that promote and pay for the space above Banking with Life or James Nethery or the Nelson Nash Institute. Those people that pay for that, there might be a bit of a connection in what I'm saying. I don't know. Go check them out and find out. Tell me I'm wrong. So, maybe if lack of capital is a problem, you should solve that right where you're at, to the extent in which you can get started right now or soon. And then if you are married, you have people that you love and care about or obligations, maybe you're not married, maybe a little personal finance, retirement planning, financial planning, you might want to solve for your insurability. You know, the life insurance companies limit how much life insurance you can have. My point here is maybe you should solve for your insurability. Maybe you should have some convertible term. You know, your term is setting the table, you know, while you're getting out of debt and then practice infinite banking. That's one way to do it. You know, a better way to do it is maybe start right now building capital to the extent in which you can. Working with somebody who is beyond the sales, marketing, making it better than it is, making the complex presentations of the infinite banking concept. You know, maybe they're a little bit grounded. They have some experience. They understand they're not practicing on you. But then maybe you solve for your need for death benefit. Both of those may not be able to be solved immediately, and I would suspect not, but you can get started where you're at and you can move to the right direction. Now, if all of that also includes someone purchasing a HELOC to get out of debt, okay, maybe. It's like the individual that has $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 in debt, and I'm not talking about their primary residence. I'm talking about credit cards, student loans, business loans, lines of credit. You didn't accumulate that because you have so much discipline. All right? And it didn't take you overnight to get into that situation. So there's no magic pills of getting out of that situation overnight either. Now, could a HELOC be part of your exit from the dependency of the third-party lenders? Yes, but please don't listen to me or anyone else. Don't listen to me for an hour here, hour and a half there, and assume that you know me and assume that you do what I do, or assume that that's all I do, whatever you heard in that 1.5 hours or the 1 hour, or the 30 minutes. Okay. There are hundreds of videos on this channel. There are, I said it earlier in the beginning, 50 episodes of Q&As with multiple questions on there. There's a learning center at bankingwithlife.com. There's a lot. There's as much as you want to learn. I'm not saying everything's there, but there's a lot there. All right. So thanks for letting me share that. And I hope I answered your question, young sir. I don't know if you're male or female, but, you know, let me wrap that up. Velocity banking can be legitimate. It can be a legitimate way to finance a mortgage and to get out of debt. The infinite banking concept will change the way you look at money and economics. It will give you a complete and total new perspective. If you sidestep all of this clickbaity, too good to be true marketing that's professionally done, they spend a lot of money doing it. And I'm not saying it's not enticing. It is. I get it. If you'll go to the basics, becoming your own banker, building your warehouse of wealth, these are books written by R. Nelson Nash. A third book, How Privatized Banking Really Works. A DVD called Banking with Life DVD. Yep, I'm the executive producer. I'm a little bit biased to it, but it's still, and it's antiquated. It was released on the 100-year anniversary of the Federal Reserve formation. Right, so I get it. It's got some years on it. But the truth is eternal. Okay, so I believe it's still legitimate and valid. And then there's a 6.5-hour DVD that you can have plastic and put it in a game box or go buy a DVD player that you can plug into your laptop, whatever. It's R. Nelson Nash himself giving he used to give 10-hour presentations, right? This has been reduced to 6.5 hours, took all the antidotes out, whatever, good, bad, or indifferent. That's the way it is. But my point here is you can own that or you can own access to that. And that is a foundational work that you can build anything on. And I've said it and I'll say it again. You cannot speak with any authority, in my humble opinion, on the infinite banking concept unless you own or unless you have thoroughly read and consumed those first works. Okay? As much as I love this podcast and I love talking to the big wide world, you, the individual, you cannot jump over the first works. Okay? All right. Thank you. Okay. And so here, I just want to share a couple of positive comments. Perry, this is through an email last week. I just wanted to give y'all a shout out, all caps. Y'all are awesome. Salt of the earth, quote unquote, people that are adding value to others' lives daily. I appreciate your support and customer service. Perry, we appreciate you, sir. Thank you. And thank you for, you know, taking the time to send the email. I appreciate that. Then I was talking to a gentleman just the other day, and I just made a note because I hear it an awful lot. I try to tell the team members when I do hear it, and I don't always. But talking to an individual is like the first time I'd ever spoke with him. And he had obviously spoke with Jake and Julie previous to me speaking with him. We had a lovely, it was actually a 1-hour and 5-minute phone call because I bumped over the time for my next scheduled phone call. Anyway, he said, Jake and Julie are so easy to talk to. And my response to him and what it is today is, you know what? Yes, they are very easy to talk to. Everyone in this office is easy to talk to. You know why? Because we're real people. We know what we're doing and we like what we're doing. We love our clients. So, but I just want to share that. Okay. Because I know I'm going through some of these Q&As and I get a little triggered and a little more so than I wish. And I don't want to come across as angry because I'm a happy guy on the inside. I'm all smiles on the inside, I promise. Thank you for listening. If you have a question that you would like answered, email me at james@bankingwithlife.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and we'll see you next time.